Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. Just pay shipping. Start your free trial today at harrys.com/hamnation. By ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 298, May 3rd, 2017. More Pine Board Project.
Good evening, everybody. If you don't remember me, my name is Bob. I spell it with one O, K9EID. And we've been gone for, I think, the third week. Reason is, we're in the Ozarks, and it's been raining like crazy. We had 9 inches of rain this past weekend. It's raining all day today. It's up to like almost 4 inches today. I didn't think I was going to make it tonight, because the only way that we get out of here is via satellite feed. And with all the clouds, forget it. And I didn't think I'd make it tonight, but we're barely making it. So that's where I've been. But let's see who else is with us. We're going to come back in just a minute and try to catch in a few minutes of the Pine Board Project. Gordo, how are you doing? Everything okay down there?
Everything is fine. My weather alert has not gone off with any incoming inclement weather or missiles or anything like that. Warminster, Pennsylvania, Bob, this Sunday's having their Eastern Pennsylvania Section Convention. And K3DeltaNovember.org, www.K3DeltaNovember.org is where you go to get more information. And next week, we'll be talking all about the Cody, Wyoming Convention coming up on Memorial Day. Back to you, Bob.
All right. Well, this is the time for Hamfest to crank up. That's for sure. I'm going to try to make it to Pea Ridge, Arkansas this Saturday for a tailgate. I'm looking forward to that down in the Bentonville area. And George, how are you doing? Everything okay? And the weather didn't get you guys, did it?
Didn't get me right here, but just 50 miles north of here, we had a tornado tear up a small town, and a couple of people killed in the state. So it's been some bad weather here, and there's some bad weather moving through right now. So if you hear some rumbling, no, it's not past supper time. It's the weather. And I've got the oscilloscope out here tonight, so you know I got some splaining to do.
Okay. Boy, I really did great last week. I appreciate you helping all of the guys and gals building the pine board. They're going to get to learn not only what they're doing, but they're going to learn what's happening when they build it. Speaking of what's happening now is Don Wilbanks. How you doing, Don? You had some weather down that way, didn't you?
Yeah, we're still having it. In fact, it's a raining off and on right now. We're supposed to have another heavy line come through about 9 or 10 o'clock tonight. So hopefully we'll be done with the show before the rumbling starts. But it rained pretty much all day in New Orleans. You know, we're on the big shortwave, WTWW 5085 and 12.105. I got an email, or rather a text from Ted Randall at WTWW telling me that the largest radio audience they ever had was last week when they did a live broadcast from Area 51, and they have a special Area 51 QSL for anybody who emails and asks. Just email at WTWW.us. Email at WTWW.us if you want that special Area 51 QSL card. So that's pretty exciting. We've got all kinds of cool stuff. Dr. T will be with us via video, and looking forward to the rest of the show. Going to be an exciting night, Bob.
Okay, thank you. Well, I want to kick it right off here because I've been gone so long, it seems like forever. But the Pine Board Project has really taken some feet. There are some forums happening. QRZ's got a really nice forum that's been started. But of importance, and everybody's been requesting this, it's finally up there. On our site, HeilSound.com, go to the ham radio page, and down at the bottom are pages and pages and pages of some of these wonderful drawings that Gene, W4IQN, have done. So you're going to have all the drawings. You're going to have schematics and layouts that he's done, and you'll get to see all of them. We finally got those up, and we have the videos up, but it's the whole program, all hour and a half or whatever. Brian's working with us. As he has time, we're going to put just the Pine Board part in there. But let's get started and get into it, because who knows where my signal's going to go. But I have to tell all of you, it's just been so much fun making it all happen. Let me work over here and get that switched. Okay, there we go. One of the things that we do have to realize is that this project deals with high voltage. And I want you all to understand that it is dangerous. So make sure that you realize that we're dealing with anywhere from 150 to 250 volts. So be careful. Be careful. And we told you about the chipstick. You'll see that in all of our things. This has been this is the final drawing. Look at how beautiful that is, that Gene has done of the power supply. And, of course, all of these are up on the, there you go, danger high voltage. All of these are up on the Heil Sound website, on the Pine Board section down at the bottom, way on before the products. We want you to just check it all out. Not only that, but Gene has all of the parts list there. Now, there's been a couple of things go on. I told you in the first program or so, we were talking about bleeder resistors, and a couple of guys said, why don't you put them on? Well, we didn't, because you have to have the load. I wanted it all to fit together, which I did. So these resistors have changed. Those are 1Ks now, 1 watt 1Ks. And now with the preamp, when you get it going, and the final, when you get it going, it all bleeds off very quickly, but that's the power supply, and it's running really well. The schematic is great. This is wonderful. This is the layout for the power supply, the physical layout of all of the parts, and you'll be able to go through everything you have, make all the parts happen, and the terminal strips. You do that, and you'll have things happening. This is going to be there for everything. It'll drive everything we need. This is a great picture of Gene's power supply that he did. And he did this before I added the third capacitor. No, we had room to do it. If you remember, I said, I might need this. I did, and we did that for filtering. As you learned last week, from George, you learned about the filtering, and the two resistors are now 1K, just so you know. Well, what we're going to start tonight is the preamplifier. This is a microphone preamp, and we've got a lot of plans for this. We're going to do things down the line. I've got a little PA that we might want to build a little amplifier and drive with this. It's very clean. It sounds great. And I'm really happy with the way it turned out. We've changed a few things. So this is the final. This capacitor was changed. We had a resistor in here. We took that out because we needed a little more gain. And we had a resistor here. I wanted a little more gain. So we went straight to ground with the cathode. And everything else is the way we had started in the beginning. But all of the parts are listed on the site also. But that's the preamplifier. Microphone in and 12AX7. One half of it is the first half. Goes over through the potentiometer. Remember the chicken head? And then we went through the second stage of the 12. That's a single tube and come to the output. The preamp works great. I have to tell you, I'm really happy with it. And here's the layout. And this is the way all the parts will lay out for you. And it works out really easy. Now, what I did is to start all this off and using the layout and using the schematic, I did this. Because you see the pine board, we're working from the top down instead of the bottom up like we would be in a chassis. So I wired all of the wires and the pieces that I couldn't get to once it's turned over. And here's R4. Here's C2. You follow along in the schematic and take these parts and wire them in there. That did have a resistor in it. It's now a straight wire. Remember, I just told you we ground the cathode, so there's no resistor anymore. But before I took this picture, there was. And this gives you all of the pieces. Then when you turn it upside down, all of the pieces are there. Now, here's a very important part. This is actually how you're going to start. This is the ground. This is copper wire. I took a piece of Romex, I think it was 14 gauge, cut the ground out of it. This is solid copper wire, and this is what I call my ground cage. And that ground cage allows us to be able to have a place to ground things to. I remember we have like pin 3, that cathode goes straight to ground. We have that straight wire. When we turn it upside down, we just tie it onto there and it's grounded. Now, having all of that, you see how that lays out. The next thing that you'll see then is that's the beginning. That's my ground path. And now we're ready to put everything else together. And some of those components went to ground and stuff. I go ahead and wire those. The rest of them are hanging. There it is, finished. And I use quarter-inch jacks for the in and the out. That works really good. Because then we'll be able to come out of here into the transmitter or into whatever we're going to do with it. You could use this for a preamp. There's a number of things you can do with that. But that's the way the preamp laid out. Works, and it works really good, I have to tell you. I was even impressed how well it worked. All those diagrams are on the page, hilesound.com, down at the very bottom. You'll see all of those drawings and stuff that Gene, thank you so much, Gene. This is the listing of where you can find parts. I even still have people say, oh, you shouldn't have started this aisle. You can't get the parts. Oh, yes, you can. Antique Electronic Supply has just about all of them, if not all. www.vacuumtubes.com. That's where you want to buy your tubes. Mike is really good. His prices are right. Be sure and tell him it's for the Pine Board Project. Crystals. You know, we had a little problem there in the beginning because International Crystal promised me they could make them. No, they didn't. They lied. Well, they went out of business. Sadly, it was sad. But AF4K, Bri makes these, and they're just great. And they're also FT243 holders, so that's what you want. Radio Days has a lot of parts. Gateway has a lot of parts. But I'm telling you, there's where you buy all your parts. You can find it. And you want to go look at amphone.net. It's a billboard, and it's a lot of fun to learn a little bit more about AM. Now, I got to show you this before we close. I was going to show you this, but I couldn't get on because of the stupid satellite feed. What you want to do? I went down. Oh, I didn't tell you show you the good part. During Easter, I went down and I got chocolate marshmallow eggs. You can guess what happened to the eggs. Yeah, from an old chocolate lover like me. Well, what do you do with the rest of it? You could do this with an egg carton, but it's a lot more fun if you do this and then you could eat the eggs. I don't know if you can still get them anyway. Here's what you do. This is where you're going to put your parts and keep your parts. This one got all kinds of stuff in here now that I've built that and so on. But, you know, here's the capacitor that we're going to need. There's that 16 at 450. This is the one that goes on the cathode. Here's some of the resistors. And you can line these all up, and it's a nice place. As you buy your parts, put them in order. Mine's not in order because I've been messing with it. But I wanted to show you that because it's very important to do these things, because if you don't, you just lay all the parts out and it gets all messed up. But that's it for now. I guess I should mention, let me grab it. Thanks to Chip. We want to make sure you have your chipstick. And that's so important when you build that power supply. I know it's going to bleed itself off, but you're not going to have the rest of it. So you always want to do that. And thanks to KA7TPH, he was the one that said, yeah, you had to put a lead that you could just put on the ground. So we clipped this on the ground, and every time you turn that power supply off, boom, you'll want to short it out. And it just takes a fraction of a second. So there you go. We're going to be on AM. Next week, I wasn't sure how my feed was going to be, but I have a great path that we've been working. I talked to you about Richard W0BVT, the guy that gave me the inspiration, and I go visit him, and he helps me make sure things are right. Well, I talk to him in the mornings, just about every morning, 3885, and he's on there with one of these pine board transmitters, and he sounds great. And running 1 watt, 2 watts, so you got a decent antenna, you can make things happen. Of course, then he takes that and plugs it into his, I think he's got an SB200, and he can get about 5 or 10 watts out of it, because you don't drive it with much. So there you go. There's so much going on and a lot happening. QRZ, go to their QRP page forum, and then you can look up the pine board thing. So we're happy about that. Thanks for all of you to keep this going. And it's gonna really be something. I'm really happy and seeing everybody continue to grow the situation. I'm thrilled. Thanks very much. I'm sorry I've had such a problem with email or with the internet. Email's there. So send me email. You got any questions? Don't fear. I'm here. So Don, have you got your soldering iron out, and are you, getting ready to go with this and make things happen? I bet you and Tyler should get into this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, I've got my Harry's razor out, because I don't want to, you know, the right tool for the right job. Speaking of that, I love the egg carton idea. I love the egg carton. You don't have anything that's static sensitive there, because you're dealing with all analog stuff. But if you got ICs and things like that, that may be static sensitive. I know that Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB, the CQ Magazine kit building editor, and also the host of the Kit Forum, wildly popular Kit Forum in Dayton, he always uses a metal muffin tin that's grounded. So just remember that if you're going to be putting ICs or anything in something like styrofoam, you run the risk of zapping it with static. But great idea. You got to keep all those discrete components apart, but yet together. Now, I want to talk to you about Harry's. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices, and they have made tremendous profits at the expense of you, their customers, and your comfort. Harry's is changing all that. If you haven't heard of Harry's before, Harry's was started by two best friends, Jeff and Andy. They were fed up with basically being just overcharged for razors. So they started their own razor company to give people what they deserve. That is a great shave at a fair price. The Harry's shave sets starts at $15, and you get everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. The weighted ergonomic handle, like the one I have in my hand, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. I love Harry's. Harry's is something that I do for myself for special occasions. Like, for instance, I'll bring Harry's with me to Dayton, because I want to have a clean, close shave. People will invariably come up to me, it's funny, at Hamfest, and they will feel my face.
They will. Is that a hairy shape? Yes, it is. It's funny. They'll feel my face. So if you see me at Dayton, you can come up. You can feel my face, and I will have a clean, close, hairy shave. Of course, I'm going to the ROTC Navy Ball with Tyler Saturday. So I'll get my Harry's on for that too, because I want to look my best, because my boy's going to look sharp in that Navy Junior ROTC uniform. And you can look sharp too. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades. They want you to try their shave set for free. Just cover shipping when you sign up. That's right. Free trial today. Harry's.com/hamnation. Harry's.com/hamnation. Gordon West is a Harry's man. And I know he joins me in thanking Harry's for their support of Ham Nation. Gordon always looks sharp. He certainly does. Someone else who always looks sharp is Dr. Tamitha Scove. I have no information one way or the other regarding Harry's, but we'll let her tell you about the solar weather coming up right after the news with Amateur Radio Newsline right now. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2061, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017. In the global battle against the rising noise floor, amateurs in the UK have had enough and are ramping up their own efforts against QRM.
Just as the Radio Society of Great Britain is taking Ofcom to task over the regulator's handling of complaints about man-made interference on the radio spectrum, hams, shortwave listeners, CB radio enthusiasts and others are working together to save the band's quality. The website ukqrm.org.uk hosts the organisers' campaign, urging radio enthusiasts to reach out, most especially in these weeks before the UK's June 8th general election, and have candidates commit to solving the problem, even if it means dissolving Ofcom and replacing it with a new regulator. In the meantime, the website also advises all radio operators to contact Ofcom with their noise issues once they have determined the QRM is caused by something not on their property. The UK QRM website also shares ways to help track down the QRM source and report it. The rising noise floor on the bands has gained attention in numerous other countries too. Most recently in South Africa, where the South African Radio League held a study group in late April to formulate a strategy against excessive QRM. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Kid building's growing in popularity, and some hams in Scotland are doing their part to get young people, and the young at heart, involved.
Ham radio is what you make it, and nowadays there are plenty of enthusiasts making it. Making their radios, making their antennas, and making other electronics for their shack. To encourage kit building with confidence, especially amongst young people, CQScotland.com is hosting a group kit building event and micro bit showcase for young enthusiasts. They're looking for volunteers from the amateur radio community to assist with the hands-on instruction. The workshop will be held on the 7th of May at the Brayhead Arena in Glasgow. If you can volunteer, you will be assisting with the building of a BBC microbit Morse code transceiver or the creation of another simple electronics project. If you're the parent or guardian of a young enthusiast looking to build the love of the hobby while building something real and useful, contact cqscotland.com. The program is supported by the Microbit Educational Foundation and the Radio Society of Great Britain. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci, 4NJH.
You saw a couple of past Young Hams of the Year featured in that story, and we're in the final 4 weeks of the nominating period for the 2017 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Young Ham of the Year Award. Nominations close May 31st. You can find the nominating form on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. We'll present the award at the Huntsville, Alabama Ham Fest in August. Time is running short, so get your nomination in. For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Ed Durant, DD5LP, Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
The sun decides to take a snooze after an extended period of solar storming, but even while napping, it reminds us it can still fire solar storms. Those stories and more in the news this week. The space weather has finally calmed down after an extended period of storming about 10 days ago. Things keep getting quieter and quieter. We had region 2653 that fired off a solar storm. It looked like it was going to be Earth-directed, but it's actually grazing us off to the west, so it's not going to disturb us nearly as much, so things continue to be pretty quiet. And as we look at the rest of the sun, we don't have any coronal holes or any fast wind that's coming soon, and no other solar storms, and it looks like it's probably going to stay that way for the next 10 days. Switching to your M-Flare threat meter, you can see we still remain extremely low when it comes to flares. The last time we even had a C-class flare was back on the 22nd. Since then, things continue to just stumble and bumble along. We're well below the seafloor. The solar flux continues to be low. This means amateur radio propagation is pretty marginal, and this trend will continue easily through the next week. Switching to our solar storm conditions, you can see the last time we actually were at storm levels was back around the 19th, and we continued storming even to moderate levels until about the 25th, where things began to calm down and calm down. And since then, we've kind of been feeling the reprieve. Thank goodness everybody's kind of relaxing now. We're all sitting at unsettled conditions, and this will continue easily through the next week. So what else does the sun have in store for us this week? Well, this is Stereo A. It's our backside monitor. You can see here's Earth, here's the sun, and here's Stereo A staring at the sun from behind. And what you can see immediately is that the backside is a lot busier than the front side. We have two coronal holes that you can see on the backside. That's with the source of the fast wind. And the first of those holes should be rotating back into Earth view in about 5 days or so. Then it has to rotate into the Earth strike zone so that fast wind can actually hit Earth. And that should be happening in about 2 weeks. Outside of that, we got that second coronal hole. That's the bad boy that's the source of that huge storming that we had just a couple weeks ago ourselves. That will probably take another 3 weeks or so to rotate into the Earth strike zone again and start yet another round of solar storming. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are experiencing that solar storm that was launched just a few days ago. It's kind of blowing by us to the west. NOAA is expecting active conditions at high latitudes with about a 25 to 30% chance of a minor storm over the next couple days, and then things should calm down. At mid-latitudes, we really are only expecting unsettled conditions, but there's about a 15 to 30% chance of active conditions for the next couple days. Again, things should settle down after that. We probably aren't going to see much more after that, and then we got probably a whole week of quiet. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, pretty much everything is once again in the green when it comes to solar flares. We have region 2654 that we're watching just a little bit, but it's pretty much just popping and fizzing and not giving us all that much. So that's good news for you amateur radio operators and GPS operators. We're not expecting any radio blackouts anytime soon, but the trade-off, of course, is that we're having a marginal levels of solar flux, which affects radio propagation for you ham radio ops. So that trend is going to continue easily over the next week and probably even longer. So the space weather this week is extremely quiet. It's sure a far cry from the solar storming we had just a couple weeks ago. All that activity is now on the backside of the sun. So you GPS and you amateur radio operators, enjoy this reprieve. I know amateur radio propagation isn't as great as it should be, but that's going to continue because we're getting closer and closer to solar minimum. And you aurora photographers, you know, enjoy the reprieve as well and rest up, because in another couple weeks, we're going to have a chance for those big solar storms again. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Thank you, Dr. T. Appreciate you giving us the video this year. I got another picture of a couple of Radio Shack receipts. You know, we had several pictures last week, including one of Kevin, the before KEV, with his 26-foot-long receipt. This is from Lafayette, Louisiana. That is a couple of receipts from Brian, AF5JA. Brian has a semi-famous nephew, Sam. KG5AYI. Sam is a young ham down in the Lafayette, Louisiana area. We met him 2 or 3 years ago, I guess, when he first got licensed. He came up to me at the Rain Ham Fest and wanted to meet me specifically. And so we've had him on the show several times, and he's quite prolific on the radio, especially on that YouthNet on Echolink from down around Lafayette, Louisiana. So anyway, that's Sam's uncle, Brian, AF5JA, showing off his receipt. So if you have a Radio Shack receipt of note that you'd like to show off, you can email it to me. It's donae5dw@gmail.com. And I also wanted to mention, I was on last night with Tom Medlin, W5KUB, on his amateur radio roundtable. He's going to be streaming live at the Dayton Hamvention again this year. It'll be their 15th year. You can watch it at W5KUB.com. You can also communicate with the KUB crew and other chat room people on their chat room, and you can even win thousands of dollars in prizes up for grabs to lucky viewers and winners in the chat room, mobile rigs, HTs, antenna tuners, HF antennas, a whole lot more. Starts Wednesday morning, May 17th, with the drive from his home in Arkansas, Tennessee now. Is that in Arkansas? Tennessee. I believe. Wherever it is, he's got a 10-hour drive. He's going to webcast that. And then Thursday, booth set up, Friday through Sunday, and then the return to Collierville, Tennessee. So it's on Monday. That whole thing will be webcast, and any prizes left over will be given away during the drive home. Also, astronaut Douglas Wheelock will be joining the W5KUB crew as a co-host. So come by, say hello, get an autographed picture from astronaut Wheelock. And it's going to be a lot of fun, Gordon. So you and I will have to go over there and crash the W5KUB booth. I think that would be a fantastic idea with our Harry's clean clothes shaves. Right, Gordon?
Right, absolutely. See? And I will at Dayton feel your face to make sure it's nice and Harry's smooth. Well,
You'll feel my face. You'll feel my face again. That's what you should say.
That's right. Well, Tamitha was talking about hams impacted by all the noise on certainly 75 and 40 meters. But, you know, there is one mode that always seems to get through. And happy anniversary, happy birthday to Marconi. And today we're going to do a little bit more code. So far, we know the letter E, just a single little dit. The letter E, and the letter T is three times as long. The letter T, T, and the letter M, which we looked at last week, is simply like McDonald's, two dashes. Now, we don't do this visually because you learn CW by ear. Letter M, letter E, and the letter T. And, you know, in the old days, Don, we did the audio CDs. Now we do eight CDs to the W5YI group on learning the code. And they're fun because I narrate them and we have little words and things like that. So, Don, our first word to our chat room, as well as our listeners and viewers, would be M-E-E. First word, meat. M.
I thought you were going to put an S behind that for all the baseball fans and just spell out Mets.
Well, almost, but we haven't learned the letter S yet.
Oh,
meat,
okay.
B. And here's a new letter we're learning today. Da, A. A.
Oh, we can all meet for dinner and eat meat.
There you go. Meet me at. Well, we don't have enough letters yet for hamvention. But, you know, every ham should know at least 8 to 10 letters of C, W, because you may need them to identify a repeater. You may need them to identify the sounds of a tropospheric duct, which we had to Hawaii yesterday. And we'll be giving you more information about that shortly. But the core of ham radio DXing is C, W. You should be able to hold your CW straight key and pick it up like this. And yes, we'll talk about the electronic key a little bit later on. But right now, begin learning with a manual key. Choose any one of the CW programs, whether it's on the internet or you stop by my booth at Dayton, the W5YI booth, and get the exclusive Gordo 8CW learning code, and you'll be learning code in N, no, T, I, M, E, and Samuel Morris, what were you thinking when you came out with a little dot as? Yep, that's the period. So learning code is fun, and while we're going to go back to short shots next week, each short shot will be preceded with a letter. So see you next week. And now we're going to tune back in to the Hawaii Tropo, and we're going to do so on the ICOM 9100. ICOM America, we'll see you and all the other manufacturers at Dayton in a few more weeks. So let's go to ICOM.
Adventures await. A new radio, giveaways, and a trip to Japan. May is full of excitement at ICOM. You don't want to miss out. A compact and smart design, the ID4100A is the perfect D-Star companion for all the journeys ahead. Its intuitive interface, variety of operating modes, and Bluetooth capability make this the perfect D-Star option for adventure seekers. Integrated GPS receiver, new dot matrix display for enhanced DR mode and GPS information, terminal mode and access point mode, applications for iOS and Android devices, and a micro SD card slot for voice and data storage.
Calling all hams.
Enter the ICOM America Hams to Japan sweepstakes today for a chance to win an ICOM radio or even an unforgettable experience to attend the 2017 Tokyo Ham Fair. Make sure you come back and enter each week to be eligible for each radio drawing.
You don't want to miss out on this sweepstakes.
Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. Learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. We've got a winner for the April contest. The prize is the ICOM ID 51A Plus 2 Dual Band Dual Watch VHF UHF Handheld. Roland K7OJL is winner. Congratulations, Roland. ICOM will be getting that out to you right away. For this month, we've got, a brand new radio. It's the new ICOM ID4100A VHF UHF entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features, analog and D-Star, built-in GPS receiver, DV and FM near repeater search functions. There's a micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, and there's an available free Android or iOS app. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. After this and each episode of Ham Nation, register to win. Sign up. Good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And now, you know, I mentioned a few minutes earlier that I had an oscilloscope here tonight. We're going to be using it because we're going to go back and talk a little about the power supply that Bob showed us earlier tonight and I discussed last week. I want to look at filtering. So we've actually got some demos here rather than just me pointing at photos. First thing we're going to do is look over here. This is what we've got, the scope. I've got a little circuit board here that's got the parts that we're talking about. This was a simplified drawing that I did last week. I removed the vacuum tube, and I just inserted two diodes in there so that it would be real simple to see how this worked. And that's what I've got here on the experimenter's board. First thing we're going to do, though, is we're going to take a look at just a 9-volt battery and see what that looks like on the scope. Well, it doesn't really look like anything, does it? Just a line here at the top that indicates, it's a little over 9 volts. Can't see it from where I'm sitting here, but just a little over 9 volts typically. And there's no noise, no ripple or anything. It's just a straight line there. You know, this is 0 volts here. As you go up, you're going positive. If you go down, you're going negative. So that's just a good, clean, pure DC signal right there. Okay, well, let's look over at the power supply now. The first thing I want to look at here is just a single diode by itself. This would be a half-wave rectifier. It's unfiltered because there are no capacitors or anything hooked up. So let's take a look at that. I'm going to connect my probe here to ground, and I've only got one of the leads of the transformer here connected. So if we look at just the one diode here, actually I need to turn it down a little bit because we are clipping there. We've got a square wave there, essentially. You can see that that's because we're clipping the scope, and I'm not sure why we're doing that. There we go. I had it on the wrong setting. You can see we're only using the top half of the waveform there. There's nothing falling below zero there, which is what you'd normally see with AC. If we looked at that, there's AC right there, goes all the way across. But with the half wave here, we're only using the top half of the waveform. The bottom half is just clipped off, so it's wasted. And that's not really DC at all. I mean, if you look at it, it's just half of a sine wave. Yeah, you can call it DC, but really, there's a lot of ripple there. If we look at that, this scope has a frequency counter on there. It's showing that it's 60 cycles. Okay, the next thing we're going to look at here is two diodes connected together that make the full wave rectifier. And this is, you know, what we're using in the circuit we've been talking about. You can see here when we use that, we've got both halves of the waveform. In other words, instead of just being clipped off here, that half of the waveform is inverted. And so we've got a more steady supply of positive DC pulses there. If we looked at it on the frequency counter there, it's 120 hertz. It's twice as much. But still, that really looks more like AC than it does DC because it's unfiltered. There's all this ripple current in there. Well, we can filter this thing. The first filter we're going to look at here is just a simple 1,000 microfarad capacitor. We're just going to put it across from ground up to our positive leads there from the two diodes. So to do that, I'm going to connect it right here. Now we've got the 1,000 microfarad capacitor, if I can get it to stay. And we look across here, and now we do have a DC, but it's a little noisy. You know, we see some ripple still happening there. But it's much closer to DC than what we had previously. Well, it is DC. It just has ripple riding on it. You notice also on the light bulb I've got connected there, now that light bulb gets brighter when we've got it filtered and we smoothed out that waveform to pretty much just straight DC. And this is a 1,000 microfarad capacitor I've got connected across it here. So you might say, well, you know, why don't we just use a 1,000 microfarad capacitor? Why do we need to use the three 20 microfarad capacitors and the two 1 K ohm resistors there to make up the dual pi network? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One reason is it's really not that cheap to buy a 1,000 microfarad capacitor that can withstand the 150 volts that Bob is talking about in this circuit. You can buy them. They get a little more expensive, especially when you get into higher voltages than that. Also, it really doesn't filter quite as well as just those little 20 microfarad capacitors in a properly constructed pi filter. So let's go back and look at that. I'm going to connect it now to the pi filter that we were just looking at. Let's look at that circuit one more time. Come out of the two diodes. We've got the three capacitors going across the line along with the two resistors in there to form two-section pi filter. Okay, if we look at the junction with just one section of that pi filter, what we're going to see is this right here. That looks like DC. That, as a matter of fact, that is filtered better than That's filtered better than what we were seeing coming from the 1,000 microfarad capacitor by itself. Still a little ripple on there. And you notice that the voltage did drop a little bit. That's because we've got those 1,000 ohm resistors in series there. Now, this is just with one section of the PI filter. Let's move on out to where we're using both sections of it. And look at that. It's really, it's practically straight DC there. This little noise that we're seeing is actually being picked up with the scope probe on this noisy power supply here. The transformer plus some other cables I've got running under the table here. But you can see that really cleaned it up. So if we look at the original, which is right here, compare that to what we get out of two sections of that PI filter there, we've got a much cleaner looking signal. So there you go. That's why we're going to use the PI filter there with just three little small 20 microfarad caps and two 1,000 ohm resistors. We can really clean up the ripple on that DC signal there. But you know, last week I had a question that came from Gordo's technician class amateur radio manual. And it's one that you'll find on the technician questions. Which of the following establishes grounding requirements for an amateur radio tower or antenna? Is it FCC Part 97 rules, local electrical codes, FCC tower lighting regulations, or underwriters' laboratories? So who do you think establishes the grounding requirements for our towers and antennas? Well, you know, that almost seems a little bit misleading on there, because you got some things that sound like they might be good choices, but the answer is the local electrical codes. You know, local electrical codes trump almost anything else when it comes to rules. Your local codes are what you need to go by, and that's the case here. So congratulations. The winner is Michael Wilson, KG7QZF. Gordo is going to send him a personalized copy, autographed no less, of his technician class study guide. So congratulations. We know you're going to like that, Mike. And for next week, I've got another question here. This kind of goes along a little bit with what we talked about tonight. I want to know, in the United Kingdom, what is the ripple frequency of a full wave bridge rectifier? You know, we just looked at one right here in the U.S. I want to know what that ripple frequency is in the U.K. If you think you know the answer to that, well, you could win this MFJ2703 three-way wideband antenna switch. This has got three positions on it. This particular model has end connectors, although they have them with PL259s or SO239s as well. A good heavy-duty switch. I use some similar to this around here. This model here is good for up to, depending on the frequency range, 2 kW on HF, 1 kW on VHF, and you could get up to 500 watts on UHF with it. It even goes on out and spec'd at 1 to 3 gigahertz. A little lower power at those frequencies, though, but a really nice heavy-duty antenna switch there. Send your answer to me. Tell me what that full-wave bridge rectifier ripple frequency would be in the UK. hamnationcontest@gmail.com is where you send me your answer, and we'll do another drawing next week, see who's got the right answer on that, and send somebody this nice antenna switch. Well, now, Don, I think you're done shaving. Now, you've got something else to discuss with us, don't you?
I am. I'm done shaving, and I've completed disconnecting the antennas because we have lightning in the area. quite a bit of thunder going on out there, and I see flashes through the window. So I don't want to do that lightning dance again, I'll guarantee you that. No, that's what happens. I was afraid of that, too. I'm like, you know, just be my luck. I reach over here and unplug the 160-meter Windham, and bam! But nope, I lucked out. And Hamvention is coming up soon, which means I did not electrocute myself, and I will be there, and I will be wearing DX Engineering stuff, like this shirt right here. Now, they have this shirt. They have this hat. They've got all kinds of cool stuff because they want you to look good for the show. They have an apparel and collectibles section that is full of shirts, hats, gifts, and gear for hams of any age. A few of the most popular products. I didn't wear this one tonight, but the polo shirt. You've seen this one, the red and black polo shirt. It's a great choice when a club event calls for business casual. It's a lightweight, breathable polyester weave. It's like a performance knit. It's really nice. Great for outdoor and indoor. They come in men's and women's styles and sizes, too. Got a bunch of stuff you need to schlep around Xenia? Well, check out DX Engineering's gear bags. They can fit Hamfest handouts, a small QRP rig, your HT or Field A munchies. Made of heavy grade material to resist rips and tears. They even have one that would be the perfect gear bag to go up on a tower with. And that's George has that bag. That's a seriously nice bag. I like that a lot. And they've got a black bag, kind of like an overnighter that's nice. That's on my wish list. All the stuff is reinforced in critical areas to handle additional stress. Inside and outside pockets secure the small stuff. Wide straps mean you can carry them around in comfort for hours. And they're ideal for traveling, not just to Hamfest. They can hold everything from spare cables and tools to change of clothes and extra shoes. And the umbrella, the DX Engineering umbrella, is perfect for keeping sun and rain off your neck walking around in the flea market. Xenia's been getting a bunch of rain lately. Hopefully they'll rain out by the time we all get there. But they have a large 36 diameter umbrella that collapses to a compact size and includes a carrying pouch. My wife stole mine. It's in her car. She loves it. DX Engineering bundled together some of their best-selling accessories, too, to make gear combos for all the hams in your life. It's also a quick way to outfit yourself in style. An assortment of stuff like hats, bags, folding chairs, shirts, and more. Five combos in total. You can see them all at dxengineering.com. That's not all about DX Engineering. Cruise over to dxengineering.com. You'll see gifts, apparel, Shack accessories from names like Vibroplex, MFJ, and Heil. DX Engineering, also a great place for authentic ham radio gear just in time for Dayton. DX Engineering, you know, ships faster than anybody else in the industry. So if you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, and if it is in stock, it will be on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com/hamnation, dxengineering.com/hamnation. You'll be the sharpest looking guy walking around at Dayton. Well, except for me and Gordo and anybody else who happens to have their Harrys on. But, you know, you'll be in the list. We're going to go and talk to Dale. Dale's got some video stuff, but I got a question, Dale. We want to know.
Okay.
Ham Nation booth volunteers for Dayton. Who's handling that? Who do they get in touch with if they want to volunteer to help us out and man the Ham Nation booth there at Dayton? It's the combination Ham Nation Amateur Radio Newsline booth, because we're going to be glomming on with the Ham Nation over there, the Newsline bunch of weirdos. So who's going to be in charge of that, and how do they get in touch if they want to volunteer?
Hey, Don, I am glad you asked. I put a short note at the bottom of my segment here to mention that. But we volunteered to put together another spreadsheet and try to spread out the viewers and that volunteer and get everybody scheduled for those 3 days in Dayton. All they need to do then would be to send their volunteer intention with proposed times or the preferred times that they would like, send them to us. We'll get them on the spreadsheet. We'll put out a tentative schedule ahead of time and then let everybody work it out from there. So we can do it. Address it to Ham Nation Videos at TWIT.TV. That's the email address at the bottom of your screen now. Ham Nation Videos at TWIT.TV. Don, you volunteering?
I'll be there. I'll be doing all kinds of stuff. I'll be the man about town. I'll be the gadabout. I'll be the pebble in everyone's shoe. I'll be the thorn in everyone's side. I'll be I'll be a pain in the butt.
Okay. Well, hey, we'll just put you on the schedule all day, every day.
Yeah, exactly.
So, hey, let's move on to the videos now. I've got a quick shack tour and a handful of parody of fun movie posters based on the Pine Board Project. You're going to love those. And first, though, a Facebook friend, David Peters, he's KB9, EWG, sent us a link to a video. And it's a tour of his shack with slides and captions right on the photos. I thought you'd like to see it. And I thought I could like to tinker with a whole bunch of modes in ham radio, but I can't even begin to compete with this guy. I tell you what, let's take a look at David's shack tour right now. Show me your shack.
Hi, this is David, KB9EWG, and welcome to my ham shack. In this video, you will see some of the equipment I use in my day-to-day amateur radio operations. And here is an overview of my ham shack. Here is my ICOM IC746 working JT65 on 30 meters with my Buxcom sound card interface. Here is a VHF and UHF radio and my MFJ antenna tuner. I also do slow scan TV, PSK31, and other digital modes. And here is some analog and digital audio recording equipment. A Dell computer running Windows 10 Professional 64-bit. Okay, here are some other equipment available to use as needed. Here I'm monitoring the 9-7 repeater and the AB9TS UHF repeater. My police scanner and a couple of 24-hour clocks. Here's a power center, my straight key, and my Alesis Multimix 8 mic mixer. My 15-inch touchscreen monitor displaying Ham Radio Deluxe. Here's my 32-inch LED TV, which doubles as a computer monitor, currently displaying JT65. Hiding under my desk is an Astron power supply and my portable repeater. Here you see two microphones on booms. The left microphone is for the radio, and the right microphone is for the computer. Being an apartment dweller, I am antenna challenged, so I have to resort to indoor antennas, such as my Slinky Dipole. On my Slinky Dipole, I am able to cover 6 through 30 meters using the internal antenna tuner on my ICOM IC746. I also have a wire loop antenna stretched around the apartment. I am able to cover 40 and 80 meters using an external antenna tuner. I also have various UHF and VHF antennas mounted in different ways, including cookie sheets. Here is a close-up of the coaxial ballon used on my Slinky Dipole. My Slinky Dipole stretches from my bedroom slash ham shack to my living room. I also use Echolink, and I have a link station and a stream feed station running in my shack. Here is the link system. Here you see Echo Producer, which runs the link radio. Here you see the stream software running, which takes the audio from the link computer, fed into the stream computer, which goes out to Broadcastify and Radio Reference. Okay, the left computer is the link computer, and the right-hand computer is the stream computer. Here is the UHF radio for the KB9EWG-L link radio system. Here's the Rig Blaster no mic interface, which links the link radio to the link computer. And the monitor, keyboard, and KVM, which controls the two computers. And my Ham Shack weather radio is with the Link computer system. Well, that about wraps this up, so thank you for visiting my Ham Shack today. And if you have any questions, please ask.
Okay, David. Thanks a million for sending the link to your photos there, served up in video form. We appreciate it. And I'll bet there aren't a lot of hams out there with that many different irons in the fire in the Ham Shack. So I found it very interesting. Appreciate it. Hey, we've got a few photos to share now. Brian, bring the first one up. This is sort of a DIY thing, little tip we wanted to give you. This is called Rodent Proof. If you were tuning into the 40-meter post show nets during the last summer and fall, you realize that the rodents had eaten our cable in about 15 different places, running out to our DX Engineering low noise receive antennas. So we finally got a hold of a trencher, and I dare the pack rats and squirrels to get into the coax this time. We brought the coax up to the antennas inside a length of half-inch flexible coax. They tell me the rodents love the coax because the cover of the coax is partially made from animal fat, but they hate plastic coax. So cross your fingers for us. And if you're making a long run through a pasture or a swamp or whatever, you might try something like the conduit there. Very handy, the flexible conduit. Now we got some fun images. We'll go through them real quick and get out of here. We received them from chat room regular Mike. He's VE3MIC. First off, here's Don on his first movie poster.
Good boy, right?
Well, then there's Amanda and her Star Wars get up. Then there's George.
Which one is George?
That's pretty good Photoshop job, isn't it? And finally, we've got a trip to Gilligan's Island with the crew. And that's it for tonight's video segment. Please send your shack photos soon. We almost have enough for another Show Me Your Shack episode. So get them into us. We need to put one of those together. It's been a long time since we've had enough to do that. Or if you have a shack video like David, send us a link or set up photos with descriptions of your shack. Send them to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. And like Don said earlier, if you want to volunteer in the booth at Dayton, you send your volunteer email to that same address at the bottom of the screen, and we'll get you on the schedule for those three fun days in Dayton. And it's time now to visit with Amanda. She's got some great interviews. Al and Mike, those guys that started the 40-meter net, are all about town tonight, and they're on Amanda's segment. And let's bring Amanda in and welcome Al and Mike. Hi, Amanda.
Well, hello, Dale, and thanks for being there tonight. And I'd really like to give a warm welcome to Al and Mike. I know that we had to do some dialing up here, so which one do I have on first here? We have Mike, Mr. Mike. So nice to see you tonight.
I got to turn this other crap off over here, but what's going
that's
on?
Fine. Hey, it's so nice to have you on tonight, and thank you so much for being here. First, let's start a few things. How did you start the – you kind of are the ambassador of the 40-meter net. How did that happen? What'd you do?
You know, it goes way back to 2010, and where everything started, I think, in Visalia. Basically went there. Bob had a seminar going on, and he mentioned a little thing at the end. He said, hey, does anyone know Leo Laporte? And we're going to be doing this thing, and Leo's going to be getting a license. And so I got real interested in this, and was able to watch the first show, didn't know that it had video and stuff, and watched it. Well, it was a podcast. And then so I caught up with it on episode 2. And as the show progressed and stuff, I was really there as an avid viewer. And, you know, they had like an open house at the Twit Network. I think it was around episode 9 or 10. And it went from there to where basically I was on the air and we were trying to make contacts. I was calling CQ Ham Nation, and me and Bill K5LN were on the air at the same time. And basically we got this thing going where we started to get a group together. And I remember going to Pacificon with Gordo, and Gordo said, "You are it. You are the West Coast net controller." And I'm thinking, me, I was a new ham in 2010, and it is the craziest thing. Here I am with Ham Nation and a bunch of other people that seasoned hams in my neighborhood here in Gilroy saying, geez, you're in with the big zero of a ham. Really excited, and I feel blessed and thankful that I believed in the show, in the Twit Network there in Petaluma. It was a great, great thing there at the beginning.
Absolutely, and you did such an awesome job. So what happened is Mike's here on the West Coast, and he can hear all these wonderful stations, right? So all of a sudden, here comes this booming station from the East Coast.
That's what it was.
And we have Al, K1LTJ, joining us. Al, we had to thank you so much. I kind of remember you getting involved. You just had such a booming signal every time you checked into Ham Nation. I think they just started calling you for relays. Is that how you got involved with the Ham Nation net?
Yeah, I think so. That's pretty much what happened. I had always watched Twit TV. I think I've been watching Leo since I was about 9 years old, maybe a little older. And they mentioned Ham Nation, and there was a 40-meter net, and I tuned into the show, and I got on 40 meters, and I met Mike. And I think that's what happened, Amanda. I would give a relay to Mike because obviously I could hear things he couldn't and vice versa. And in no time at all, I was there every week. For years, I backed off on that because of commitments to the office, but I hope to get back to doing more of it. But I'm
absolutely. You guys have done such a significant job, and I love how you guys check in. Mike is always, you know, the garlic capital of the world.
That's right.
And Al, what is your signature from where you check
in
at?
I'm from Danbury, Connecticut. This is the Hat City.
There you go, the Hat City. So, and then
That's
you guys
right.
kind of got some.
At one point, apparently, 10% of the hats in the United States were all made here in Danbury. I don't think they make any anymore, but that's why they call it the Hat City. So, yeah, we got the garlic capital and the Hat City and the air capital with Dale in Goddard, Kansas.
That's right. Airplanes. And then you got Florida involved. So we had Kevin on last week. And so we kind of have you guys spread out where we can get all the check-ins. And I'm going to go into your backgrounds of how you got into ham radio, but first, I'm going to send this out to you guys tonight. What do you guys think, you and Mike and Al? Let's get a record number of check-ins, you guys. Come on, let's do this. Get on 40 meters, check in. Let's hear you all. Let's get a record number. What, Mike, what was your record so far?
Well, we were shooting for 100, and it was all about Gordo was saying, hey, let's get 100 check-ins. And it really worked, and we were able to push it to the 100. The quality of the check-ins, it kind of deteriorated, and I was kind of against it. We know where the numbers are out there. We can do 100 check-ins. I had to limit the net to like about an hour and a half as the show ends, and then I cut it off around 9 o'clock here on the West Coast. So people are out there, and it's all about the quality of the check-in. I mean, we can play this like a contest exchange and, you know, 5-9, hello, you know, you're checked in. But I would like to hear what the people have to say, you know, what they have to say about the show and their everything else there. So trying to make the whole experience, you know, like, you know, top notch out here, Amanda. I remember when I first heard you on the air, and it was Jeff that came out there and said, hey, you know, checking in here. And basically, Amanda's going to be on, my better half, next week here, going to be on the show. So I had no idea who you are. And I looked you up, and I'm looking online at your QRZ, and I'm like, wow. Amanda. So we've come a long way since then. And this was probably, you know, 6 years ago. Am I right?
It was. It was a long time ago. Yeah. And I don't want to think how young I was then or how nervous I was on the show. I really was pretty nervous. So that's, you know what? Mike makes a great point. You guys out there listening, he wants the content from you when you're checking into the 40 meters net. He wants to know how you felt, what you thought about every segment on the show, and what you enjoyed and maybe what you didn't enjoy. Hey, we're open to both. So let's move on, you guys. Al, when did you get into ham radio and what do you do mostly? What part of that hobby do you like?
Well, I got into ham radio when I was in the seventh grade. I was 12 years old. Yeah, it's a long time ago. That's 1959. And I was in the study hall and one of my friends said, hey, my dad got me this radio and I can listen to Radio Moscow on it. And, wow, that's great. So I, after school, went over to his house, and he had a Hallicrafters S-38, which I think you see on the shelf at Dale's there in his live video when he's on the air. Same receiver. And I was hooked from the very first night. He pulled out a copy of the ARRL license manual, which at the time sold for 50 cents. And he said, you know, if you study and learn these questions and you learn the Morse code, you can talk on the radio. I was, again, hooked from the start. So for several months, every day after school, we'd practice the code. We didn't have a code oscillator, so we went, you know, like da-da-da-da and talked back and forth. And I got my license in June of 1959. About 3 months later, I got my general. And then it was about 10 years later that I got my – I took the advanced, the extra, and the second and first class radio telephone license tests all at one shot.
Wow.
In 1969. So how many years have I been a ham? 1959, 58, something like that. Long time. And right now I operate, 80 through 6 and CW, sideband, the digital modes, PSK, RIDI, WSJT, and I'm just getting into digital mobile radio. In fact, I checked into the DMR net for Ham Nation, and so that's something I'm playing with, and I was talking to Mike about that too. So that's pretty much everything I do, and I wish I had more time for ham radio.
I know, don't we all? Well, that's great. And Brian, you can start just streaming those photos whenever. I stole some photos of you guys, and he'll start playing. Okay. So, Mike, you go ahead and tell us how you got into ham radio.
Yeah, so it was kind of like a dueling match between me and my neighbor here who works for SRI. And interesting, he has a military background. And it was like, hey, you know, and we were kind of XCBers and stuff, and he wanted to have the placard on his door, and I'm like, you know, I want to work some HF stuff. I want to bounce my waves, you know, over the ionosphere, and so, anyways, I don't think he has a license at all today. Of course, I went from no license to general class, and then right up to extra class. I had a planned trip to Hawaii in March. So this is like January. I was licensed as a general and I tried, of course, I challenged the extra there on that same day. Couldn't pass it. It took me two more times to pass it. And, cause I wanted to change my call sign. It is Amanda knows we don't always get the best call signs when we're first assigned. So yeah, so that was in 2010 and my whole thing was working HF. I didn't have any Elmers. I didn't have anybody else that I knew. And it was me and it was Gordo's books and Gordo the Iceman and all this other stuff that, you know, and that helped me. And geez, I've been having so much fun with ham radio. I must say in the last year, I've kind of taken a hiatus from a ham radio and been away from it. And please understand everybody out there, this was almost like a drug to me. And I was doing ham radio and just had to be on the air all the time and stuff. And I had to step away from it. So looking forward to the special event. I will be on the air. I am W6H from Gilroy, California, the West Coast, just south of San Jose, Monterey, California. I plan on being on like 40 meters, 20 meters, and hopefully 10 meters if it opens up. You know, 75 meters. I'm going to try to get an antenna set up. We have a weekend where I work a day job, and there's a holiday involved with this. So I'm hoping that to set up bigger antennas and stuff, but I'm worried about the winds blowing down my wires. My main antenna is a hex beam, and my other antenna for 40 meters is what I call an inverted U, which is basically a dipole with a drooping legs. I did it twice there. But a homebrew antenna is there, and working as many stations as I can.
Very good.
A couple hours after work during the week, and during the weekend and the holiday there a little bit more. So that's my station there. Yeah, from the West Coast and from the East Coast.
Go ahead, Al. What are you going to be doing?
Am I
pointing the right way?
What am I going to be doing?
Well, that way.
Where are you going to be operating at? What's your goal
for the special event? I'm going to be concentrating on 40 meters, 20 meters, 80 meters. I'm going to whatever band has any kind of opening, I'm going to try and jump in there. 10, 15, 20, 40, 80. Might even try a little 6 meters. Who knows?
There you go. Whatever's open, you should jump on. That's for sure.
I'm still thinking about what Mike said. That ham radio is a drug. And Mike, are you going into ham radio rehab? You are from California.
You know, it's just something that I think we all have to go through and understand where, you know, it is too much and not enough, you know, and it's that balance. And I'm going to be getting married here later this year in my first marriage and trying to balance the relationship.
Congratulations,
from having a success.
Mike.
Thanks, you, Amanda. Yeah, you're all invited if you'd like to come out to Carmel Valley here in California in October. But,
and if you're engaged, you know that you have to take it easy on the ham radio and you have to ease her into it to get her interested if it takes over the life.
Oh. She met Val last year and Val asked her and she said no.
Well, you guys, we've kind of run out of time here, but I'd really like to thank you both for being on here and being kind of the pioneers for the Ham Nation After Show Nets. We can't thank you enough for that because we really enjoy it. So say your thank yous, and I'm going to go into a couple more announcements here, and we're going to wrap it up here.
All right. So thanks, everybody. I'll be on the air here, 40 meters, and tonight I'll be on for a little bit. And look for me and Al for about the first 20 minutes, 7-3 from the West Coast.
Yeah, thanks, Amanda. Thanks for having us on. It was a real treat to be here. And this is the first time I've gotten to watch the show live in months. I'm watching them all on reruns. And I just want Bob to know that his pine board project is taking me back to like 1962. It's a real memory, a trip down memory lane for me. So thanks, Amanda. And I had a great time. We'll see everybody on 40 meters in a few minutes.
Thank you guys as well. It's been a real pleasure to have you on here. And like I said, every Wednesday night, it was such a pleasure to get off of Ham Nation and come on and join you too and listen to your rocking signals from both coasts. I got to say, you guys are always such a team and we hope that you get more into it. So let's go to some announcements here. Let's go to the After Show Nets. We have 20 meters on 14268 if it's still going, 40 meters on 7181. EchoLink on D-Drop In. We have D-Star still going on 14 Charlie and DMR on TAC 311. So, Don, back to you, babe.
Well, thank you. And happy birthday to your better half yesterday.
Aww. He says happy birthday, Jeff.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
He says thanks.
Good deal. That was awesome.
I ad-libbed
nice
that. He's not in the room.
Nice to see Mike and Al on here. Man, Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, is one of my newsline guys and a broadcast friend, and he posted in the Facebook, man, it sounds like Al's been around a radio station a couple of times. Yeah, Al's one of the sick broadcast brothers for sure. That's kind of like ham radio. Broadcast is a sickness. But yeah, no, Al's a former broadcaster, so that's gotta love that voice, man. God, I love Al's voice. I wish I had Al's voice. Man, I'd be making a lot more money, I guarantee you that. Amanda, thank you so much for everything. Do we have any chat room questions, or we've just about worn out our welcome here?
I think we're done, babe. I had a long exercise today for the chemical stockpile emergency preparedness plan. Let's spit that one out. So I've been doing a radio exercise since 4:30 this morning. I'm done. I'm spent. I'm over. It was an awesome exercise and it was good. So let's wrap it up.
Awesome. Good. Well, thanks to Mike and Al for being on here tonight. And I'm wearing my hat just like this because it chaps Bob so bad. Oh, he hates this.
Oh, that's not
hates
right.
It when I wear a hat. Like, he hates it. So, you know, anytime. But he's going to pop me upside my head when I see him in Dayton. Thanks to Bob for the pine board stuff. That's always a thrill. Dale, good stuff tonight. George, good stuff as well. And Amanda, you always do such an excellent job. And we'll be back here next week. And man, it's getting to be almost Dayton time. Hopefully we'll see a lot of you guys up at Dayton. Don't forget, Dr. Tamitha Scove will be at Dayton. She'll be, man, where's she going to be? She's going to be in the Instructors Forum for a while. She's going to be hanging out with us in the Ham Nation Forum. She's going to be at Contest University as a presenter, and she's going to be at the Antenna Forum on Friday. So she's going to be everywhere. And
she's going to be busy.
You know, she is. And you know, the Ham Nation 300 challenge, a selfie with Dr. T is a tiebreaker. So, selfie. You know, gotta get the selfie with Dr. T when you're at Dayton. All right, y'all. Thank you all for being here. Chat room, thank you so much for your participation as well. And for those of you watching live, thanks for being here. Those of you watching later on, you're the ones that count because that's what counts with the ratings. So anyway, we love you all equally, and we'll see you again next week here. So for the whole Ham Nation gang, I'm Don at E5DW. Thanks, and we'll see you next week. 7-3, good night.
Good night.